Family. She's also part of my family too by marriage. My daughter is married to Jenny's son, and I'm very pleased that that's happened, because now I get to spend time with this lady who is so full of joy. Even a minute in her presence and you just feel the presence of God all over you. And yeah, it's just so nice to know her. I have it on great authority that Jenny loves to dance while she's cooking. but she may not do that for us today. So, Jenny is the founder and the managing director of Stable One, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that today. But I'd just love it if you could join me in prayer as we bless Jenny and what she's going to bring to us today. Well, Lord Jesus, we just lift up Jenny, Father, and we thank you that you've put a message on her heart for us today. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to see your truth and to know, Father God, the compassion that you have poured into Jenny that she is just using to reach the hearts of many, many people in our community. And Father, we just pray that you would bless the words of her mouth, the meditations of her heart, and that, Father God, you would release to our spirits your truth and your love and your compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Wow, it's a real privilege to be able to share this morning. Apparently I have two messages, so we're not going to get them both today. We would be here a long time if I shared with you everything that I think God's given me to share. So Di says we can have part two. So that's a good, that's good news for you, because I could keep talking all day. So yes, so there'll be more to come. It's kind of all connected, but it will split into two. But today is even in two parts, I guess, because I've been asked to share with you about Stable One, and it's a real joy to do that. This is the part I could probably do in my sleep, and I often might do in my sleep. I can talk about this really without thinking about it. The second part, however, is what I really believe God has given me to share with you today, and some things that God has really been teaching me. It's more the spiritual stuff, I suppose. Anyway, that I can't do in my sleep. That I'm really going to have to trust God for this morning. And that's the sum total of my notes, which is really quite disturbing to me when I look at that. Whereas this is the first part. So anyway, the second part is what God wants to say. I want to start, though, in the Word, because that's not a bad place to start, is it? And it's a story that you will all know really well. But I wonder if you know what is just right before this story. So it's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's in Mark. I'll go back to where that was. Hang on. Started well. Here we are. So right before the account of the feeding of the 5,000 in Scripture, Jesus has just had news that his cousin John has been beheaded. And I probably have never been noticed that much before, because you tend to read things very out of context, don't you, if you're anything like me. So it's always a good thing to look at the setting that a scripture is in. And it really stunned me when I saw this, because Jesus actually is trying to get away by himself with his disciples to escape to a quiet place and get some rest, it says, and to grieve, because his cousin has just been beheaded. It's not like a small thing that just happened. It was actually a really horrible, big thing. But as Jesus gets in this boat and goes off with his disciples, it says they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. I'm in Mark 6, 32. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Well, even as I read that this morning, I thought, isn't that funny? Like, it's not like McDonald's existed in those days, but obviously there was places they could go to buy themselves something to eat. That's, I might have to check into that a bit more, but that was fascinating to me. But the disciples' solution for all these people that were hungry in the crowd with Jesus was to send them away so that they could go get themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." Just going to leave that there for a minute. Okay, we're going to come back to that. But first of all, I want us to think about homes. Okay, Stable One is all about home. And I want you to think about, if you came to the Unpack event, you'll hear a few things today you've already heard, but don't worry, that's not all you're going to hear. So we did this at the Unpack event. What is a home? And I actually collected up all the little cards I gave people on that night, and I've collated things. And this is what they came up with. All these different words: shelter, warmth, love, freedom, refuge, all of those things. So when you think about your home, don't think about the actual walls and the roof that you live under, but think about what makes your home your home. And maybe some of those words there will speak to you about your home. So what is homelessness? That's basically when you don't have any of those things. It's not just that you don't have a roof over your head, it's that you actually don't have any of those things. So we're going to just have a look at a few statistics really quickly about who is homeless. I can't tell what's happening behind me, so I don't have to keep doing this, sorry. So on census night, the last census, 116,427 Australians were experiencing homelessness of some form. Those were the ones they could find and count, I should say. 58% were male and 42% were female. Who is homeless? So rough sleepers, the people you may see, only represent 7% of all homeless nationally. They're just the tip of the iceberg. There's children who are homeless. 1 in 8 people is under the age of 10. And homelessness in people aged 12 to 24 has increased by 9.9% in 5 years. So that's 27,683 young people who don't have somewhere to live in Australia. Homelessness in Australian women is up 9.5% in the last 5 years. And people over the age of 55, this is the fastest growing group of homeless in Australia. There's been a 28% increase since the last census. And then a statistic that ought to shock all of us, that despite only making up 2.8% of the Australian population, Aboriginal or Torres Strait Island people represent 22% of the homeless population in Australia. Housing stress is a real issue. You might actually be living in some of that yourself right now. But more and more people are struggling to afford private rental. It's a really big issue. There's a huge demand for affordable or social housing, and there's not enough supply. In the eastern region, there's over 3,300 people already on a waiting list. That's just out here. That's not in Victoria. That's out this side of Victoria. And this statistic I heard recently is that Victoria would need to build 3,000 new social housing properties every year for the next 20 years to meet the need. Just say that again. 3,000 new social housing properties every year for the next 20 years to meet the need. So to get a bit of an understanding of the extent of the problem. And when we look at that problem, you and I might say, what can I do that's going to make a difference when that is the extent of the problem? And I think it's a lot like when Jesus' disciples looked at all those people and they said, send them away so they can buy something to eat. It just looked like an impossible thing. They didn't know how they were going to feed all of those people. And what did Jesus say? You give them something to eat. And I think when we look at the issue of homelessness, that Jesus would be saying to us, his church, you give them somewhere to stay. That's what I think Jesus is saying. So stable one, was set up in response to this need for homes for people. And Stable One's mission is not to get the church to come and help us do all sorts of things. I think we nearly became that. but we had this moment where we said, no, actually, as an organisation, we want to help the church to do something about this issue of homelessness. As an organisation, we don't want you to come and help me. I want to come and help you. That's a real big difference. And it's really important, I think, that people understand that. It's about working together. And it's been an awesome thing, this working together. And it's about more than just a place to stay. It's about journeying with people and walking alongside people and caring for them in a spiritual and a physical way. So how have we done that? If you've been around the last two winters, you might have an understanding a little bit of what we've been doing. But we started the Winter Night Shelter. Put your hand up if you've never heard of the Winter Night Shelter. Okay, there's just two. Okay, so that's not bad. That's good. So the Winter Night Shelter is where churches in this area are coming together and they're opening up their buildings at night. There's each of them do one night of the week, and then another one provides a place for a day centre Monday to Friday and just for an hour on a Saturday and Sunday. And we invite people to come in to be our guests, to show them hospitality, to give them somewhere to have a meal and to rest for the night and to have breakfast the next morning. But it's more than just that, because our little tagline says more than a place to stay. And we never just wanted it to be somewhere for people to have a sleep, because we have more to offer than that, don't we, as God's people? And we wanted to invite people in and connect with people and journey with them and create a space that where there's community and connection and love and welcome and some of those words that you saw in that house at the beginning. I'm going to show you a little video that we've just made recently, which journeys with James, who was our very first guest actually at the shelter, and he's been good enough to come back and talk to us and allow himself to be videoed just to share his story. So we'll hope that works. Let's see.
I was living in my car after my marriage breakdown. And it's horrible. There's no other word to describe it. It's just horrible. It's lonely and isolating and nowhere to go, no one to turn to. And, plumbing in the back seat of your car to go to sleep every night, going to swimming pools to have a shower, just doing your washing. Really basic things. It's horrible. There's no other word for it. It's really horrible and depressing. And once you're in it, you don't feel like you're going to be able to get out of it, to be honest. The gentleman who was giving me work, he didn't realise, within the days that I wasn't at work, that I was actually in the car. And when he found out, he came and saw me when I was at Chernside Park Shopping Centre. And so it didn't take him long to realise that, you know, things weren't good. He made phone calls for me, and because I wouldn't have made them. I admit that. I would not have made them. I would not have asked for help. You get beyond the point of believing it can be rectified. That's really what it comes down to. He made the phone calls for me, and we went down to the mustard tree, and I met Jenny, and we had a conversation that changed everything.
It was good to be able to connect with James. We felt like the Winter Night Shelter would give him the support he needed to be able to get back on his feet and take a positive step forward.
When I got there, I was completely broken, to be honest. It was petrifying just to walk in the door, which is the hardest part. It's difficult to walk into a situation where everyone knows that you need help, I suppose. Got to meet more people, eat different dinners, and after that it was great. Everyone was really, you know, accepting of me, and it was good. Before I came, I was taking a lot of tablets of various descriptions, prescribed ones, but a lot of them still, And over the course of the eight weeks I was there, I halved them, more than halved them. And I'm still and taking even less now. During the course of being at Stable One, I met some lovely, wonderful people who took me in, and I now live with them. So I have somewhere in my own space, somewhere warm and dry. Another contact through Stable One introduced me to somebody they knew through the church, and they gave me a shot a couple of days a week at the start, and ended up with a full-time job there. I haven't stopped working since I had that opportunity, and that only came about because of the Stable One program too. The year after I was at the shelter, I volunteered, and it gave me an appreciation to what the people who put in so much effort, they make life as easy as possible for you. It can be easy to, you know, not understand how much effort actually goes into it. So since Stable One finished, it has been all uphill. It hasn't been easy, and I haven't done it all by myself by any means. The plans for the future now, get my own place, get my own house. When you're starting from scratch again, it takes time. Like, I'm on my feet, definitely, and doing well, but you know, you've got to keep it underneath you, so. And you need people around you for that as well. Staying at the shelter, everything changed.
He's a good guy. I should say someone in this church gave him a shot at work too, so yay. Yay, Vinya. So just to fill you in on the other things, I guess, that Stable One are doing. So there's the winter night shelter here in this area, which should be happening again this winter. The other thing that we're doing, though, is to help other areas who are interested in starting their own. So this is a model we stole from England. We didn't dream up this idea. There's 85 projects in the UK that I know of that are doing this. So it's really big there. And now there are other people around Australia who are ringing up saying, what are you doing? How did you do it? Can you help us do something the same? So we've put together this toolkit. When I get phone calls like that, and they're almost every week at the moment, people are asking all the time, can you help us get something going? So it's exciting that this year I know that for sure there's a project in Sunbury, there's one in Bendigo, there's 13 churches in Bendigo putting up their hand to be venues, so they may only be doing it once a fortnight, so that's amazing. Maroondah did it last year with our help, we resourced them and they're doing it again this year. Whitehorse and Knox and Ferntree Gully are really wanting to do it. We've hit a really big roadblock at the moment, which is the council building surveying department, who are now very overly interested in what we're doing. And this is a thing that I'd like to ask you even today to pray with me about, because we would love to see a breakthrough in this week, because if these new projects are going to start, we need a clear answer, because what's being asked is for churches to upgrade, to be have a new occupancy permit, to be accommodation, which brings with it a ruck of things. And some churches are only like tiny bit away from that. That's quite an easy upgrade for them. But other churches, there's possibly two that we use that will be ruled out for this year. And what we're looking for is for the Victorian Building Authority to say, no, that's not accommodation, housing people for 13 nights a year. That's not accommodation. What a ridiculous thing to call it. Let's just call that being church. That's what I would love to see. So that is what we want to ask for you to pray. And I actually think we might do that right now, because we really do need a breakthrough, because this could put a stop on everybody doing this. Because it will become too expensive. It just won't be viable for buildings to be upgraded like that without a whole ton of money. So how about we stand? Let's pray. Father, we know that the winter night shelter is your good idea. It's not ours, God, and you have given us this way of reaching out to people and inviting them in and feeding them, God, of providing for them what they need, doing the thing that we believe you've called us to do. And we want to pray, God, that a whole ton of rules will not get in the way of us doing this, God. We want to pray that the VBA will be soft in their hearts, God, and determined to find a way that will mean that we can continue to do this, and that churches actually all over Australia will be able to do this and make a real difference to people like James, because there's many, many James living around Australia, God. And so we want to claim, God, a victory in this area, that the lawyer that's working for us would just find a way, God, find a pathway through the legal stuff and just be able to say, no, this is not accommodation. This is the church doing what the church does. And so, God, we want to give this situation to you and ask that you would do something really soon so that we can have some answers and keep moving forward. And, God, that you would encourage all of those coordinators around Victoria who are waiting on this answer as well, and every church that's waiting on an answer, and that we'd keep moving forward, God, to do the thing that you've given us to do boldly and proclaiming your name. And trust in you, God, that you will do it. We trust you together today. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. That's not the end. That's just something I think we should do. So just as we come to the end of talking about Stable One, there is another dream that we've had for the last couple of years that we also believe is a God-given dream, and that's to have a place where people that we meet can live long term. And so it would be a place that's going to give them this sense of stability, a real lasting, permanent, affordable place for as long as they need it. Wouldn't that be awesome that you could say to somebody, we've got a place, you can stay there as long as you want. You don't have to unpack and pack and unpack and pack. You can stop and put down roots. It's a safe and supportive environment. It's a community with Christ at the centre. These are all things we believe that God has showed us that he would want for this place. With buy-in from the local churches, so finding ways for the local church to connect as well and support. It would have live-in management who are committed to building a community. It would be a place where people can make friends and bring friends and be a friend. It would have some common spaces where people can connect with each other, but also they can have their own independence, so self-contained, but and then move to a point where actually they can contribute and support one another as well. So there are some things that you can do. Keep praying for a start about that building situation. You can talk about, go tell people the stats, because lots of people don't have a clue what the actual problem is. I had no clue till I started working at the food bank and started to meet people who were homeless. I lived in my leafy street, in my lovely house. I had no idea. And maybe you didn't either. You can come and volunteer. So, you know, this project takes around 150 plus volunteers a year. Currently, we've got 90 signed up, so there's still 60 to go. So if you can sit and chat to somebody over a cup of tea, if you can come and spend an evening, excellent. If you come and spend a night from 10 p.m. till 7 in the morning, especially if you're on a uni holiday or you work for yourself and you can just work all night and sleep all day, I don't know. Bring your computer and play games, ideal for those older, you know, younger adults who like to connect their computers and play games and hours disappear and nobody knows where they went. I've got a job for you if you can do that. If you could drive the trailer and move it from one church to another during the week, that's a job. If you could drive the minibus, that's just about an hour and a half's job at night, 6 o'clock, come and drive. It's not even an hour and a half. It is at the weekend. Anyway, talk to me. I'd love to. There's more information on the website, though, about all the different roles. So do have a read and see if you can get involved in the Winter Night Shelter this year. I'm not coordinating. We've got a lovely guy called Dale, who's Dee's brother, actually, who is coordinating this year. I'm just supporting him a little bit this year. You can be an advocate for somebody. So lots of people who are in a situation where they're homeless could really use someone who will advocate for them, just help them do the next thing, go to the next appointment, access the next service that they need. So there's a real role in that. So you can pray. I try and do a newsletter every couple of months, so you can sign up to get the newsletter. You can do all of this through the website or talk to me. We've got prayer meetings coming up. They should be advertised. Hopefully we'll get them in our notices here, and you can join in prayer meetings with people from all the other churches. That's an awesome way to work together. And there's an election coming really soon. So if you feel passionate about anything you've heard today, perhaps about the lack of, really big lack of affordable housing, there is nothing in the budget for housing or homelessness. There's nothing in the budget to do anything about the issues of affordable housing and homelessness. So if you want to write to your local candidate about that, you can do that. If you have a look at this website, Everybody's Home, this is the Council for Homeless Persons who put this together. You can get on there and you can sign a petition. You can get some facts and figures there as well, and you can write to your candidate and tell them this is a big issue, and ask them, what are you going to do about this? Not how are you going to make my comfortable life more comfortable. So, we're doing great for time. That's slightly scary though, because this little bit of paper doesn't have that much on it. Okay, so let's just get rid of that. We're moving into part two. I want to read another scripture to you. This is from the Passion Translation, which is why it's on my phone. And it's Luke 15, starting at verse 4. There was once a shepherd with 100 lambs, but one of his lambs wandered away and was lost. So the shepherd left the 99 lambs out in the open field and searched in the wilderness for that one lost lamb. He didn't stop until he finally found it. With exuberant joy, he raised it up and placed it on his shoulders, carrying it back with cheerful delight. Returning home, he called all his friends and neighbours together and said, "Let's have a party. Come and celebrate with me the return of my lost lamb. It wandered away, but I found it and brought it home." God has been teaching me some things this last year. God's always teaching me stuff. It's quite annoying, but also amazing. God's been teaching me about the fact that he is the good shepherd, and that's really where I just want to spend the last little part of this message, because when we think about home, we thought about all those words. I have taken just about three out of there, but when we think about home, we don't just have a physical home, we also have a spiritual home. So when you look at those words and you think about the spiritual home that you have when you live with God, when you live a life with God, when you are home, when he brings you home, so many of those words apply to that state of living with God. That when we come home, we find shelter and warmth and love and freedom. We have relationship and acceptance. We belong. There's fun and there's joy. There's comfort. There's family. There's connection. Is that true? So home is not just a physical place. Home is also a spiritual place where we can live. And when we're home, we have those things. It's a good place to live. And that's because the one who brings us there is really good. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who he sees his sheep. So God has given me a picture this year of himself as the shepherd, and I see this big, strong man who stands and he looks and he sees his sheep, every single one of them. He sees them, and some of them are here in this sheepfold, and some of them are way off in another pasture, eating some food in that pasture, eating that grass in that paddock. But he sees them. That's the picture that I got given in this very room, actually, one Sunday. He sees them all. And it doesn't really matter how far away they go. He just is going to keep looking and seeking and searching and bringing them back home. There's another beautiful passage. I could read the whole Bible, hey, but we won't because it would take too long. But there's another passage in John 10 about the good shepherd, where Jesus is talking about himself and he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And this good shepherd that we know, he's so good and so loving that he is just going to keep searching for his sheep and bringing them home. And they're all coming. He wants them all to come. So when you think about what we do in Stable One, it isn't just about the physical thing. It's also about the spiritual thing. And we want to share that message with people that we meet, that there's this spiritual home that you can have. And actually, you can have that even if you live on the street. You can be at home with God, even if you don't have a physical roof over your head. And, you know, I was thinking about, see, I told you I could read the whole Bible. When I'm sure I didn't get taught to do this in Bible college either. You should stick with one passage and just stick with the one passage. But there's so much in the Bible that is so good. When Jesus reinstates Peter, he says to him, feed my sheep. And I think that Jesus gives us the commission to also be shepherds. He's the good shepherd, but we are also shepherds. We have a job to do, to actually go out and be shepherds and seek for the lost and bring them home as he did. He put them on his shoulders and he carried the lost sheep home. And we have that job to do as well. And it's like, why would we not? We have this great place that we can invite people to, this relationship with God that is like the best place to live. Why would you want to live anywhere else? It might look really green, you know, over there in that other paddock. This morning as someone was praying for me, they gave me this beautiful word and they were seeing stiles, and I thought, how interesting, because it was a time when John and I walked coast to coast across England, and we went over that many stiles on that walk, you wouldn't believe it, into that many fields. And we walked through this field and then over another stile, and sometimes we squeezed through these tiny holes in the wall that were other ways to get into a field. And I feel like I learned a lot about sheep and grazing. We saw a shepherd come to round up his sheep with his dogs, but he was on his 4x4, what do you call that? His quad bike. He's on his quad bike. And I thought, when you think about how the sheep know the shepherd's voice, I think the sheep, they knew the shepherd's quad bike sound. They knew he was coming. But we watched these sheep get rounded up by this dog and this quad bike, and it was an awesome thing to see. But the sheep do know his voice. You know, all the sheep in that, you read about that story, sheep in those days would have all been kept in the one great big pen. Lots of different shepherd's sheep were all in the one pen overnight being looked after. And then their shepherd would come and his sheep would know his voice, and only his sheep would go with that shepherd. The right sheep, apparently, I learned this, know that that's their shepherd, and off they go. And those sheep go with that shepherd, and isn't that awesome? I'd like to see that worked out. But apparently that's the truth, that they all knew the shepherd's voice. And so I guess where I want to end today really is to encourage you. You might be sitting here today and you might be in a couple of places. You might think, I've been I've been in another paddock for a while and I'm not experiencing, this is not my reality, this isn't where I'm living. I'm not experiencing this sense of belonging and love and fun and joy, of peace, of comfort, acceptance and belonging. And maybe it's time to come home. So if that's you today, then you can do that today. You don't have to wait. You can just come home today. But also you might have somebody in your mind that you know is out there in the paddock that is on your heart, who you are praying for. And the one thing that really has is written in the biggest letters on my piece of paper is this: it's love that brings people home. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. He loves us that much. And, you know, sometimes we are called to sacrificial love for other people. That means giving and giving and loving and loving and just keep on loving. And I just want to encourage you today to just keep on doing that. Keep on loving people. Keep on opening your arms to people. Keep welcoming people in. And just let them know that they're loved. And ask God to give you the love that he has for you to give to other people. Because he'll do that. When you can't find it in yourself, he just keep giving it you and you just keep loving. And it's love that brings people home. So I just want to encourage you in that today. So my other message was going to end with us having lots of worship and praise. That will be another day. But I do want to finish with a song today, because the other thing I do love to do is worship. And sometimes you might look at me on a Sunday and think, "She's, look at her." Me and God, we connect in music, and worship is the way, people. So I want to encourage you. We're going to sing a song together. And I want to ask the elders, the prayer team, whoever's willing to pray, if you, today is the day you just say, you know what, I want to go home. It's been okay in that other paddock, but it isn't actually that great. I want to come home. You can do that today. So come. And if there's somebody on your heart you want somebody else to pray with you for, come and ask somebody to pray with you for that too. So let's sing together. I'm just... One, two. Yes, I'm going to pray as we do that. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, you are the good shepherd. You know your sheep, and your sheep know your voice. And we pray today, God, that you would speak loud. Loud, God, so that everyone can hear. And you see them, God. You know them. You know everything about them. You know where they are. You know what they think and what they feel. And you love them. You love them so perfectly and so recklessly and so beautifully. God, you loved us so much that you were willing to lay down your life for us. There's nothing greater that you could do than to give your life for your children. And it is your desire, God, that they come home. They come home and they live in this beautiful place with you. This is not a heavenly place. It is a heavenly place, but it's a heavenly place on earth. God, you said you've come that they might have life and live it to the full. And that is what you want for your people. You don't want anything less than that, God. You want fullness of life for everyone who walks on this earth. And we love you, God. We thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you love us the way you do. And you never, ever give up on us. No matter how far we wander from you, God, no matter how much we turn our back on you, you are always here waiting to welcome us home. And you don't just wait, you come get us. You pursue us, God. You're our good Father. And we love you, God, and we worship you together this morning. Just invite you to stand. If you want to stand, you can sit on whatever you want to do today. Let's just sing.
Of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love, the dead and the dead and your peace, and that I'm never alone. You're a good I'm not afraid to die.
Sense of as we're singing, I can see names all around this room. It's like the Lord's actually, for some of us, we've got really specific names of people that we know He's wanting to call home. And I'm not only seeing the names, I'm also hearing the heart of the Father calling those names. So would you just join with me as before we even respond individually, just join with me to that Father's calling names home today. And if there's some names that are on your heart, it's because He's put them on your heart. So Lord, we just lift up our cry again and say, Lord, bring them home. Bring them home. Those that we're thinking about and those that we've not yet run into or haven't reached our heart space. Lord, would you bring home those that are lost and that are struggling? Would you bring them home? Would we be a people that would be able to not only be praying for that, but also being the ones representing your heart? So, Lord, change our hearts when we've been callous, when we've not even recognized that you're calling the names. You're calling the names. The Father's calling names today.
Person we meet, holding nothing back.
song if you want, but there's no words. You'll have to look it up on your phone.
It's called The Goodness of God, and it's my most favourite song at the moment. It's by Bethel. So if you want it, be all super modern and look up Goodness of God on your phone, you can sing along.
Goodness of God. Oh, I will sing
the goodness of God.
I just want to bless you as we close. You can stay. Chairs don't need to be packed away. Stay as long as you want and just rest. Jesus says, come to me and find some rest. I bless you today to know his rest and his peace and his goodness for you. If you want to chat to me anymore, I'll be over by the blankets. Love to chat. See you Friday. See you Friday.